Welcome to Navigating Life After 40, the podcast that's all about helping women navigate this exciting and sometimes challenging phase of life. I'm your host, Ronnie J, and I'll be here sharing some of my own personal experiences, chatting with experts and a few friends, and also providing some practical advice and support to help you live your best life after 40. Let's get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Navigating Life After 40. And as I always say to you all, I hope each of you are doing well. We are entering spring, and so spring has not been my friend, so due to allergies. So I hope each of you are doing well. Today, oh my God, I always say that all of my guests are special, and I really do think they are because they all bring just so many different types of expert advice to us, and their stories are so interesting, especially after this phase of life. And today I have Regine with me. Regine is a physician, you guys, a physician at the age of 48. And I cannot wait to dive into this story. I was really inspired when I first saw it on Instagram. I was like, oh my God, I have to talk to her. She is preparing to start an anesthesia training as a surgeon intern, followed by an anesthesia training next year. Previously an acupuncturist, a massage therapist, an entrepreneur, she transitioned to a non-traditional pre-med and medical student, managing life as a divorced mother of two who remarried at the age of 45 during her second year of medical school. Nice. Since 2022, she has chronicled her medical school journey on social media, which is how I found her, connecting with women with dreams deferred and overcoming challenges. She is committed to supporting women on the path of medical school and residency. She has inspired many to pursue their dream of becoming physicians. Welcome, Regine. How are you?
Oh, Ronnie, thank you so much for having me. First of all, I'm great, and I am thankful you have this platform for us over 40 crowd.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for being here. I cannot wait to dive into your story. And to start, I really have to know this. Can you share a little bit more about what led you to pursue going into medicine after the age of 40?
Yeah, such a good question. I've always had the dream of becoming a doctor as a kid growing up. It was somewhat of more of an inconvenience, though, as I grew up and in a single mother home, I couldn't stay out of the workforce, but for so long. And that is 8 years of pure dedication, not getting any coin. Okay. And that was not going to happen. Freely and easily with the circumstances I grew up in. And so I really worked hard during my early adult years to kind of quench that desire and fire to become a doctor because it was just so inconvenient for what I was trying to set out to do. But let me tell you, when I went into entrepreneurship and began seeing clients who mostly women were my clients when I was a massage therapist and acupuncturist. And they were women who were successful in what they had been doing. And I met a surgeon. One of my clients was a woman surgeon. And after my first session with her, the way I approach my sessions is very, it's like medically based. I work on imbalances and it's just not about rubbing the muscles. I'm trying to correct imbalances in your posture so that you can have better long-term effects from my work. And she said, wow, you would have been a great doctor. She has no idea of my past aspirations. And I was 34 at the time. And I said, doc, why are you telling me this now at 34? It's too late for me. And I said, you know, when I was younger, I didn't get into the nitty gritty of it, but I let her know that when I was in high school, I actually did pass out in during like a procedure that a woman was having. They were poking anesthetic into her vulva. And I was like, passed out. So I told her, oh, I passed out. She said, do you know how many of my surgery residents pass out? And I said, wow, that that's amazing. So that was 34. She planted the seed, because before she actually said that, I thought that you had to be perfect in order to pursue medicine as well. I thought you'd never pass out. No way would you pass out. You know everything. You're smart. You went straight out of high school into college and did the perfect traditional path. And so there was no room for someone like me to pursue it at that time. But what I did do, I started doing my research, and I found that there were non-traditional students. And that was so encouraging. So 2 years later, I began my prereqs for medical school as a pre-med student. And there was no looking back after that.
Nice. I love that. And when you mentioned that vulva, I was like, ooh, I would have fainted too.
No woman wants to see that.
No, at all. I would have definitely fainted. But it sounds like you had this journey that you really wanted to take, kind of, and it's hitting home a little bit, that you wanted to take, and then you met someone and they planted this seed, and then you, okay, this seed was planted. Now I have to water this seed. It also sounds like this person was sent to you, like God put this person here for a reason and to remind you, this is the path that I have for you. And so I'm going to introduce this person to you. They're going to have this conversation, plant this seed so that you'll know this is the direction that I have for you. That's so right. I love that. And, you know, I love that God does those type of things. Yeah, I am someone who went pre-med when I was in undergrad. I was pre-med, and I was pre-med in psychology. And so at some point I was like, was kind of misled by some professors. I was like, well, no, you don't really have to go to medical school to do this and to do that. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just stick to the psychology side. I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. And so as the years went on, and I that was one of my biggest regrets in life, was never going to med school. And it was not until I hit the pandemic, like when the pandemic came and I was just seeing so many doctors, how they were impacted. Mm-hmm. And in my line of work, I call myself a retired therapist because I'm not really practicing anymore, but I still train other people and I still work with individuals who are in mental health. And so I would see so many people come in for support, especially physicians that would reach out on this text-based platform, what we have, and they would want support for what they were dealing with. And I was just like, maybe it wasn't the path meant for me, you know? At that point, I had a little bit of reprieve because I was like, this maybe wasn't the path for me, and I can stop being so hard on myself. Mm-hmm. Does it come up from time to time? Like, yeah, girl, you should have done this. Yes. But then I think about, you know what? I'm too old and I don't want no shaky hands trying to operate on somebody. But I love what you said, and that is you went and you started your prereqs and you just went on this journey and you've been doing it, and it's just no looking back now. And so I love that you got started. I love that you ran with it. And so seeing your video, I was like, who is this lady that went back to school after her 40s, go to medical school? I was so inspired, but I was just like, how is she doing this? Yes. How, you know, because we deal with so much stuff. And yes. I know you mentioned the non-traditional student. Mm-hmm. And at this phase of my life, I'm just thinking like, I'm dealing with brain fog and fatigue and all of these hormonal imbalances. So I would love to know, how are you, and I'm not sure if you're in that phase where you're going through those things yet, because I know everybody's journey is different, right? But I would love to know, how are you really focusing on your passions? If you are dealing with those things, how are you combating those in order to be successful right now in this field?
Oh, it's a fact that I was very cognizant of going in. And let me just mention that in addition to the surgeon saying I would have been a good doctor and planting the seed, God, he took it two steps further within that same 2 week span of seeing the surgeon, I had two other clients who were like in their 50s, successful women in their field. Okay. And they both, and I mean, unprompted, I did not prompt this conversation. They began telling me on two different times that they regret not going for the dream that was in their heart, even though they were so successful. Yeah. And I said, and that's what sealed it for me. I said, I don't want to be in my 50s and 60s wishing, because that had been a regret. Whenever I would meet a woman physician, and I knew a lot of successful women like yourself. I also did undergrad psych, by the way. And I wouldn't feel any way except when I would meet a woman physician. And I said, this pang in your stomach that is telling you some things about what you're desiring, you know? Yeah. So as far as when I was 36 and I started my pre-med, I mean, there was no issue about having brain fog or anything like that. But let me tell you, at 43, starting med school, and that's a whole nother animal.
Yeah.
Definitely went in, like, I did cleanses. Let me tell you, I was cleansing my body. I was had a full regimen exercise that I had been committed to since I was 40. I was eating whole foods, also taking things like lion's mane for my focus, you know, and clarity. What else? Everything. I mean, sea moss, whatever you can think of. Meditation. Let me tell you how great the meditation is, because I never understood how focusing on my breath, albeit there are many types of meditations, but the one that focuses on a flame or your breath, what I learned, and I use it to this day, is that it helps me train my mind to focus for very long periods of time. So there's a type of meditation called Vipassana. And when you learn this initially, you actually do a 10-day retreat where you're doing like 10 to 12 hours of meditation per day, just in silence, and you're not talking. Okay. So what I began to do in between terms was to do 2 hours of meditation. I read somewhere that Deepak Chopra does 2 hours of meditation every day. And I was so impressed. And I said, let me try that out. Did the 2 hours. And what I realized is I couldn't go 20 minutes when I first started just focusing on my breath. My mind would wander. And everyone understands that type of situation. And the yogis call it a monkey mind. So what I started to do, they say, focus on your breath. And every time it wanders, just bring it back. And that's the muscle you're training. Yeah. So when it translates into real life, I'm able to focus on studying for 9, 10, 12 hours a day as needed as a medical student. Also, clarity is there. Focus is there. I'm taking my supplements. I take supplements all the time. I take my iron because anemia will have me laid out. Okay. Yeah. And I make sure I do my annual physicals, make sure everything's good, do my mammograms, keep on top of everything. And that helps a lot. And I also was listening to binaural beats. I don't know how that helped, if that helped, but it kind of allowed me to really go for stretches of time while I was studying. So yes, very aware of the falling off as I get older, but there are solutions.
Yeah, I love that you had this regimen planned out. And I also like hearing about what solidified your decision, which was meeting other women who had these regrets. Often when we get at this phase of life after 40, we start to kind of go back through life. We replay it in our heads and we're like, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. And we get older and that regret and sometimes resentment can sit in. And so I love that just hearing those stories kind of also help you say, okay, I don't want to be in this place at 50. Let me follow this dream that I have now. And then I also like how you prepare and how you plan, because you're right. Meditation is so important. It is actually something I still struggle with, and I'm trying to get better with meditation, because as soon as I hear it, I'm just like, I'm knocked out sleep. So it is something that I know I have to work on, and I am surrounded around meditation all day at my day job. But when they say, okay, here's a meeting where you can take a break from work and meditate. I'm like, I'm not going to come because I'll go to sleep. But I will go to sleep. But I love the supplements you mentioned. I'm going to also make sure that I share those same things because I've heard a lot about lion's mane and especially sea moss. And I know for myself to stay focused, there are things that I've also been trying as well. And I've been really curious about lion's mane. So I'm really happy to hear that you mentioned that, especially for focus, because God, the brain fog is, it's a lot. And I think that is something that's also important for women to hear, is that these are things that you can try if there's something that you want to do. Don't let the hormonal imbalances, this changing phase that we're in, stop you from pursuing your dream. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Were there any doubts or fears that came up for you as you were going through these journey? And if so, what were those like?
Every step of the way. I mean, up until like last week, child. They don't stop. I mean, let me tell you, my pre-med portion of the journey was the hardest because that's when I went through my divorce. And I learned so much about myself that needed to come out and would not have had I not went through a divorce. Yeah. And that was that I had my worth tied into being a wife. I had no idea that was my belief, that my worth was being a wife and also being a mother to two children who had the same father, right? Mm-hmm. That was a belief that I strongly held because I grew up in a household of, it was three of us for my mom. We all had different dads. And I remember my little sister's dad always like shaming my mom about having different children's fathers. And I was thinking, I'm not going to do that. Like, I started to put worth into women who had the one child's father and was married. And so when I got divorced and I was stripped of that status, I felt worthless. And that is a dangerous place to be. So I quickly learned to, through the help of books, prayer, journaling, of course, that I have intrinsic worth that is not and should not be tied up to anything external. Because external things you have no control of sometimes, they can be stripped away, more importantly. And then who are you? Who will you be when you're stripped of everything? So that was the hardest part of the journey, because what I was going through emotionally, the desperation I had as feeling worthless and trying to become a wife again, and it was not working out. I had to let all of my baggage go and really connect to who I am. And connecting to who I am, that strengthened me throughout everything. I got to tell you, now I recognize my intrinsic worth as well as everyone else's intrinsic worth. And that's a beautiful thing. And also becoming a physician, so many people I would imagine link their worth into that title. And so I'm so free of that, which is, it's such a freedom. Yeah. And it's a good space to be in because God forbid, of course, I worked hard for the physician title, but it's more of who I became and had to become a physician. That is more important to me than the actual title, letters behind my name, because you have to be resilient. You have to work failure into the plan. Okay. You have to have fear, of course, but move in spite of it. And let me tell you, when you move, the action is what puts the fear to bed. Okay. They said there's a saying of fear, only fear itself. No, baby. Don't fear fear. Fear in action. Okay. Fear is normal. Can we normalize fear? Can we? Yes. Because I used to hear you have to be fearless. And that's why I didn't do anything, because I was never fearless. I always had fears.
Yes.
Please. I have to embrace fear sometimes and tell her, hey, baby, you know, we're going to do it anyway. Right? Yeah. We're going to do it anyway. And then the more action I do, the more she's like, okay, I'll rest. I'll go to bed. My action puts her to bed. That's it.
Yes. I love that. That's a sermon. That is a whole sermon about fear that so many of us need to hear, because we continue to allow fear to impede our progress in the decisions that we make because we're like, well, what if this doesn't happen? Or what if this doesn't work out? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't even take the steps to even find out if it's going to work out or not. You know, we don't even try. We just allow that fear to talk to us and convince us to not follow through with something. So I love that you just said, I'm going to take these steps. Mm-hmm. You know, despite the challenges, I'm going to still push forward and do this. Another thing I also appreciated that you stated was, despite the obstacles, and you did this inner work that was needed in order to help you get to where you needed to go. And I think that sometimes a lot of us, we fail to realize that those internal things, they can come out in other ways, not just with like relationships over here with a marriage or a dating partner, but also in our work and the things that we do from day to day. So I love that you did that inner work to say, you know what, I have to heal in this area so that I can grow further into my career as well. And also you did not allow those challenges to stop you. So kudos to you, because so many women would have been like, you know what, let me put this on pause and let me come back to it later. And then sometimes later may not happen.
Oh, I've been there. I've definitely wanted to quit because quitting was easier in that moment. It was just too hard to keep going. There's a thing, I don't even know where I got this exercise from, but it's, what do you want said at your funeral? You know, or you ever hear, start from the end and then work backwards? Start with the end in mind. And that is the end, right? Your funeral. And that was also a driving point. I wanted to add value to this life and the calling that was in my heart. I knew it was there for a reason, and it was an injustice for me to ignore it. So with God's grace, I got through so many of those challenging times. And what happens is they become fewer and wider apart. Okay. They used to be back to back. I was going through depression as well. Lots of anxiety, and quitting would have been easier, but my kids were watching. I have two kids. That helped a lot. It wasn't just about me.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they are very proud of their mom. And I love that you said, you brought that up to begin with the end in mind. I think it was Stephen Covey. I think I'm saying his last name right. Who stated that, begin with the end in mind and then you work your way backwards. And you're right. What do you want people to say about you at your funeral? And I am pretty sure just you on this journey, this path, the way that you're inspiring other women, I see the women in your comments. I just know that when that time comes, people will have so many beautiful things to say about you, because you are, it's so, like, I was just inspired. Like, all of these women are saying, I'm going back at, I'm 38, I'm in my 40s, I'm going, and I'm like, oh my God. And it was just kind of tugging at me like, girl, you might want to revisit your dream a little bit. I love that. It's
bigger than I imagined.
Yes, I was impressed. Like, it is inspiring to see that, and then to see so many Black women wanting to go on this journey, because we know, I want to say the numbers are about 5% of doctors are African Americans. I believe it's about 5%. And to see that so many people, was that?
2.8 are Black women.
2.8%. Yes. And just to know so many more women want to be a part of that. You know, I am, when I tell you, like, this is exciting for me, and it's like, I'm not taking prereqs in med school, but it's exciting for me. And I love that you all are following your dream and following your path. Like, it, listen, if I keep talking to you long enough, you're probably going to have me. And I'll be reaching out to you like, girl, I did it. Yeah, I probably would. Yeah, so I want to kind of shift a little bit in terms of like the balancing of responsibilities, you know, work-life balance. I know that when you're going through med school and things like that, it's a little bit different of a journey. And I'm not sure if it's the same as it was 20 years ago, but I remember people, and even at the time I was dating someone and he was a surgeon going through his residency program, and he's saying, you can do it, you can do it. But I'm wondering about the balancing of responsibilities. How do you balance work and life, being a mom versus going to school, being a wife versus being in school? How do you balance those things?
So at this point in time, both my children are adults. The balancing came when they were 7 and 11 and I went back on the journey. I took it so slow so that there could be balance, that I could be home, that I could show up for their games and their school events and so forth. I mean, I went in to pre-med at 36 with a two-year degree from a junior college, and I still took 7 years to complete my bachelor's because I would take one semester off, stack money because I was going through the divorce, stack my money so I can pay in installments the next semester and take a few classes. Okay. Yeah. Also, I don't say no to help. My ex-husband's mother is my angel. She wants my children every single weekend so that I can work the entire weekend. Because that's, as a massage therapist and acupuncturist, that's when you make the most money, when people are off from work. And I worked long hours and the children just stayed with her that weekend because at that time, my ex-husband had moved to Texas. So she stepped in and helped me a whole lot. And, you know, they grew, they graduated from high school and college. And now my little one is in her freshman year. She's completing her freshman year at Howard. And she is, I mean, I'll be going into my residency and she knows it's going to be a lot, especially surgery residency, as you know, because you were dating a surgical resident. Those hours are your own. Oh my God. She's just so proud of me. She is dry like her daddy. You know what I mean? So when I saw how excited she was that I had actually matched and I was about to become a practicing physician, resident physician, I was like, wow. Like if I had not thought it was worth it, which I did before that, I was like, in that moment, it was so worth everything.
Yes.
And so I won't have to balance the motherhood part of it so much anymore. I will be dedicating most of my time to residency. And my husband, who I met in 2018, he has been my rock. He's so supportive. He is there. He's preparing dinner for me, you know, all the food I need. I don't have to go into the kitchen. He has it prepared. He's doing the clothes. He's doing everything that needs to be done. And happily, like he loves being there for me. And it's amazing to have that support. I always say either you have a supportive spouse, partner, or none at all when you are pursuing ambitious things, you know, that is going to take your time. You cannot have an insecure man or partner by your side at all. They will try to put the monkey wrench in your plans. Yeah. So he's a great support. And my kids love him too. He's been great. I mean, my ex-husband is an amazing father too. I would have loved having a father like him growing up, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I was able to choose a good man to father my children. He's been great. And he's a great support as well. He'll be at my graduation too.
Yes, I love that.
My husband, like it's a good community for my children, which is good. My mom, and I love to talk about this because it's so rare. My mom and my ex's mom are best friends as well. And we used to say, we met for them to be friends. I think that's what it is. They are like sisters. So it's just beautiful for my children. I love to see it for my children.
Yeah, love that. I love that you have this well-rounded support system that's there for you to kind of help you during this time. And you are absolutely right. When you're going on this journey, you cannot have a envious or jealous spouse.
No.
it will turn into something else.
Oh my goodness.
And sometimes will also lead to competition in ways that it should not. So
I love that the man you were dating, the surgeon you were dating, was rooting for you, cheering mm-hmm. you on, encouraging you, because that's not the story I usually hear. Even with men in medicine, when they're women want to go for it, I've heard so much of the opposite. So I love hearing that story.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He used to root for me. He also started off his residency in anesthesia. And so then he ended up saying he really wanted to do surgery. So he ended up going into surgery.
Oh, and, great. I love it.
Yeah. So he was really very, very, very supportive. I was just like, I'm just too old. I'm just too old. And he was like, you are not too old. And I remember hearing from some of his, I became friends with some people he worked with as well. And so they would say, when I was in med school, there was a guy there, he was 70 years old. He just wanted to do it because it was always his dream. Yep. And so he went through it and he finished. And I was like,
oh,
that's amazing. But is he like, he's not like operating on anybody or anything. And they was like, no, he just wanted to do it to say that he followed his dream.
And
put it to rest. 70 years old. And so I was just like, I used to get a lot of.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. 70. So I had, you know, people rooting me along the way and just saying, do it. And I was just like, well, I'm just too old, you know. So I don't know, you know, we'll see. You know, at this point, I'm just like, listen, I can't work. I got to go to school. I can go to school. But I'm like, after that, you know, what's next? I can't work. I can't do these things. And it's just me.
What do you mean you can't work?
So when you get to like the med school part, right? You can't work at that point, right? Because you have to dedicate your time to school. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You are correct.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to dedicate your time to school. So I'm just like, it's just me.
4 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one of those burdens. And I'm just like, yeah. But you know, this God's plan for me, he will always work things out.
Absolutely.
To where when I get to that point, if I decide to still take that path, then the right things will fall into place. So I do believe that, you know, I do believe that.
Same here.
Yeah. Earlier you talked about some internal work that you did along this journey. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, are there any other life lessons that you've learned that you could share with those who are listening?
I think something that's really important is the phrase or the buzz. It's a buzz phrase that goes around saying, love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's abstract, right? No one ever really teaches you how to love themselves.
Yes.
How to love yourself. Who does that?
Yes.
There's a book I read, and this is what changed my life from the inside out, called Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. He wrote The Four Agreements.
Yes.
So he wrote this book, and let me preface this by saying I've read hundreds of books, okay? So sometimes you need primers to prepare you for the book that changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
Had you not read anything beforehand, it might not have the same effect, if you will. So it came into my life at the right time. 2017, January 1st is when I read this entire book, because it's a page turner and it's short.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is give you concrete steps on how to love yourself.
Nice.
Now, the first step being tell yourself the truth. Now, I was familiar with telling myself the truth because I had really dissected my behavior and attitude in my 19-year marriage, how selfish I had been, how much I was depending on my then husband to make me happy. And when he dropped the ball, I was upset and resentful. And so I was telling myself the truth about a lot of things I was able to face at that time. The second step was to forgive others. Because as you know, and you've heard, like we're vibration, you know, and when we're holding on to unforgiveness and resentment, we're vibrating on like this low,
yes,
this low frequency, and we attract low frequency things into our lives, right? We attract more unforgiveness, resentment manifested in different areas of our lives, and we don't even make the connection, but that's the energy we're giving out.
Yes.
So I began to forgive people. And not that I would say, hey, I forgive you. It was a matter of inner work. I began to imagine myself in their shoes, right? Mm-hmm. So my dad, who was an absent dad growing up, I had so much resentment surrounding him. And I began to think he was 24 when he had me. He probably wasn't really in love with my mom. They didn't have a great relationship. My mom was very violent. And I guess he just didn't know what to do. I'm putting myself in his shoes, you know? I was his first child. And if he knew better, he'd do better, was what I imagined. And it was so easy when I put myself in his shoes to let go of the resentment and expectations I had of him as a dad and started to understand that has nothing to do with who I was born to be. The third thing was forgive yourself. That was the hardest step. Had to forgive myself of all the poor decisions I had made. And also empathizing with myself and saying, girl, you didn't know any better. You grew up with a mind of scarcity, of lack. You didn't understand anything about abundance. If someone had it, that means you couldn't have it. This was your belief for many years. Okay, you're learning a little different. And then fourth, moving forward, acceptance was good. Like something as simple as I laugh a lot and I smile a lot. And as a daughter of a Jamaican mom and a Jamaican family child, that was looked at as weakness. And so for many years, I did not like that about myself, among other things that I rejected. And I started to accept these things. And I was like, that's actually a beautiful part of you, that you smile and you laugh and you find humor in so many things. You know, life shows on so much of your family's faces, and it's because they don't allow themselves to laugh and just be easy with things. So accepting myself, accepting things I thought were flaws, and also just moving forward and changing the things, becoming the person I admired, you know, so the promises I made to myself, I started showing up for myself. If I said I'm going to go work out, I went to work out. I didn't break promises because I don't respect others who would tell me they're going to do something for me or with me and they didn't come through. So why would I respect myself?
Yes.
Right? Why would I have any confidence in myself, in my word? So my word became my bond to myself. I showed up for myself and that really shifted so much of who I was. I became a different person and someone I could admire and have integrity because I had no integrity as a wife to my first husband. So that integrity kicked in. I said, I want to be a woman of integrity. Like, forget this. You did this to me so I can do this. No.
Yes. Yes.
So that was a huge shift for me with how I dealt with my children, how I dealt with my now husband, how I deal with relationships outside of home where I work, the patients I had as a med student and who I will have as a physician and my colleagues and people who I have to teach, you know, the med students I'll be teaching. It changes everything, everything, everything.
Yes. I love that. Like you were talking and I was just tuned in to everything you were saying about self-love. And I'm going to also drop that book for those who want to check it out. I read The Four Agreements. I have not read that book, but it sounds like a very, very good read. And I love how you just broke that down. It reminded me a little bit of the process of grief. When you go through that, the different stages of grief, it reminded me of that as you were talking. That's what came to my mind. And you do kind of go through a little bit of a grieving situation just a bit because you're letting go. You're letting go of past hurts, past pains, and you're moving to this point of acceptance. And so you are kind of going through that journey of grief at the same time till you get to this point of self-love. And so
that's right.
I'm going to check that book out myself. You hit on some points, especially with the parents, and this can be a different conversation about forgiving the parents because they didn't know. You know, there's not a manual on parenting. Like, this is what you're supposed to do every single day. Well, there's not, you know, a manual on that. And parents, of course, we want them to be perfect.
We do.
And
we do.
They're not. They make mistakes. They're human. And so I am so glad that you were able to do the work And also, as you mentioned, forgive. And forgiveness is not for them, it's for you.
It really
is. Yeah. And sometimes people think, well, I need to call out these people or go have a conversation with them. But that's not the way to do it. It is for you, so that you can be free and so that you can be the person that you desire to be. And I also love one more point you made, and that is not doing to others what they've done to you. Because when I tell you that is growth. Because there are still so many people, well, they did this, so now I'm gonna do this. Yes. Yeah. And so that is tremendous growth to be at a point in your life where you say, you know what, I'm not gonna even retaliate and do the same thing to you. I might want to,
right?
I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna give you that energy.
And we end up injuring ourselves. I know in my case, I definitely was injuring myself. Writing that nonsense into my life, opening up that type of energy. It was, oh my goodness. Yeah. And forgiving the parents. I had to realize, like for my mother, I had to realize she wasn't born my mother. So when my kids were born and old and they were old enough, I said, listen, I'm going to be making mistakes. Okay. You might have to heal from them when you're older. But no, I'm doing my best. I wasn't dead. You might think I was. But honey, let me tell you, this girl lived a whole life.
Yes.
Forever in the picture. Like my mother did. She went through so many struggles. I mean, tremendous trauma. Nothing I've ever dealt with, because she was protective of her girl. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was because of what she went through. And when I learned her story, I was like, wow, what admiration I have for you. You're strong to love me so fiercely in spite of what you've been through. So I looked at her through a different lens, you know, not as having to be perfect and looking at just the mistakes I thought she made.
Yeah. But
looking at all the right she did for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And I'm hoping that those who are listening also just kind of take that and say, you know, what can I do now to start doing the work to heal myself? You know, because I see this joke float around a lot about Gen X, those of us in Gen X. Yes. And how we need the most healing from the parents that was
we were less
justified because we went through some things, and a lot of us, we raised ourselves because our parents were at work, and so we went through a lot. And now we see like the late millennials and the Gen Zers, they are more focused on more of the mental health and those type of things. That is something that you didn't talk about, you didn't talk about back then, especially in the Black community. You definitely didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
You need Jesus. You need to go to church. That was it.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, that's how they had us.
That's right.
Any advice that you would give to the women who may want to pursue a career in medicine or anywhere else, any advice that you would give to them to
Absolutely.
Just make the decision to follow their dream?
I love that. Well, knowing yourself is so important. It's a huge commitment. But I'd say I used to envision my future self and what she would say. And that future self is filled with wisdom, has been through everything that you will have to go through. And I'd say most importantly is to tap into the research, what it's going to take to achieve what you want. So you, like we said earlier, you start with the end point, then you work your way on backwards to see what it is, the steps you have to take. If you're like, this dream is everything, it will not leave me alone. Like my dream just would not leave me alone. Okay.
Yes.
I did not want to die with that music in me, because we all have music in us, and a lot of us die with it still in us, you know.
Yes.
I'd say after you make the decision that yes, it's worth it, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm just going to commit to saying yes to it every single day. Just start with that one step. They said the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. One step. You do that one step, a way will be made. Believe me, ways will be made. You're familiar with it, Ronnie. Things just open up when you say yes to the opportunity. and commit to it and know that failure needs to be worked into plan. So I'm going to tell you this, when I decided on going for it and committing to this pre-med / med journey, if everything had gone perfectly and I planned according to that perfect plan, I would have planned to do it for 6 years and been at the point I am now. Meaning I had a 2-year degree. I just needed to get 2 more years for a 4-year degree and then 4 years to med school. Heh, that's 6 years, right? And I'm done. No, honey. I said, look, life be lifing. So let me work in an extra 4 years. Let me add 4 years to the journey so that mentally I won't be discouraged when I do come across challenges, come face to face with challenges that would have otherwise knocked me out of the game because I was like, oh, I'm not sticking to my plan. I'm just going to give up. Right. So it ended up taking almost 12 years. But do you think at the 11th year, I'm going to stop? Like, I'm all in.
You in it now. You in it.
So 6 years turned into almost 12 years. Don't ever plan anything like it's going to go perfectly. Please work failure into the plan. Know that things are going to come up. Okay. A family member is going to pass away or become sick. Okay. Someone's going to go through depression that you may have to take care of. You may get injured. You don't know what is in store. Work it in the plan.
Yes.
And don't let it become unshakable. Know that, okay, that I planned for you. Okay, but we're going to get back up. We're going to get back up. And be encouraged. Keep encouraged. Read stories of overcoming obstacles. Other people who have been in your shoes, who have overcome the hugest of obstacles. Okay, I read things like David Goggins is a beast. He's a beast. He does like things that are not human. He's one of my encouragers when I'm feeling a little weak, a little spent. I will read David Goggins, who's doing 100 miles of running every week in spite of having a 40-hour job and doing the Navy SEALs 3 times where people literally die. You know what I mean? I will look at Harriet. Harriet, I love that movie. Harriet is no joke. She is one of my spirit animals. She is bringing the people with her. Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Come on, Harriet. Like, I have my heroes that I will go into and read about them and like channel that energy, that wit, that warrior spirit that you need sometimes when the fight is rough. Out here. Okay. Yeah. It's not easy. It wasn't meant to be easy. This is supposed to break away the parts that are weak in you. Okay. And that hurts. It's painful. Yes. It's supposed to mold you, reshape you into who you need to be. To have the things you've been wanting to have. You have to be the person to do the things to have the things, okay? And people try to have the things first before they are the person that needs, you know what I mean? The process is in the journey, baby. That's where all the gold is. Don't miss, try to miss out on that.
Yes, I love it.
It's beautiful.
I love it. I love that. The process is in the journey. Mm-hmm. And I also love, because I heard you say this a few times today, and that is plan for the failures.
Yes.
Because things are going to come up. There are going to be setbacks and obstacles that come up. But even with those, keep going. Mm-hmm. Plan for them. Know that they're coming. Don't stop.
Yeah.
And also have those things that keep you going. If it's a book, if it's a movie, if it's a meditation, friends, family.
Girl, music has got
music.
Me. I will put on hype music. Yes.
Some hype music. I love that because I love me some good hype music.
Right?
And just keep going. Yeah. And we all, as you said, we all have music within us, and we don't want to die with that music still in us. Mm-hmm. And it's probably just either stop playing or it might just be on rotation.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we get that out so other people can see us in our element and that they can hear that music play.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Pleasure, Ronnie.
I know that you have an event coming up And I would love for you to share that with us. And also congratulations on your residency program. I saw that you were accepted and we also talked about it today and it was in your bio. So congratulations. Can you share more about your upcoming event?
Absolutely. So this has been something I've been doing just along this journey, is helping people, specifically women who are older career changers, you know, find out the steps they need to get into med school. And mm-hmm. now that I've finished my residency journey, as far as getting a residency, it's been a dream for me to help others who are specifically IMGs, which means international medical graduates. I went to SGU, St. George's University in Grenada, and it is it's a harder road to get out of Caribbean schools. They say it's easy to get in, hard to get out, right? And the hard part is landing a residency in the United States. And while SGU has one of the highest match rates of all Caribbean schools, there's still room for much improvement overall with IMGs. And my mission is to help IMGs, first of all, gain the confidence to know that they are worthy of matching, because we are told from the beginning not to aspire for any competitive specialties because we most likely won't get it. And anesthesia, which I matched in, is one of those specialties. I was advised to dual apply, which I did not. And also that I was too old or mature to go for a prelim in surgery, which I have matched into as well. So I will be doing prelim surgery, yes. And I'm here for other IMGs. I want to assist and aid IMGs who are in this residency application cycle in crafting their personal statement, their entire application, so that it's a story that connects all the parts of their application that makes it look better for residency programs who are looking to hire them. And also the interviewing is so important, because once you get the interview, they're saying, we are okay with everything on this application and we just have to know if you're a fit. And that's where a lot of IMGs can drop the ball, because I've known IMGs that have 6 to 10 interviews, and sometimes they don't get matched anyway. So I am really into the interviewing prep and coaching for IMGs. I think it's something that I really excelled at because of my experience and how many people I have talked to over the many, many years, and how well I know myself. That helps a lot. So it's on March 31st, I am launching enrollment for my residency application boot camp. Okay. We are going to go over your application in depth. We are going to prepare you for the residency interviews that you will be getting, and craft your story and connect everything in the application to truly have you shine in the way that residency program directors need to see. So I'm excited about that.
I'm excited for you. And I will definitely also share those details in the description. And any links that you have, I can post those as well, so anyone can sign up if they're interested. This has been a very beautiful conversation today. Yeah. And so again, thank you for being here and for sharing your story and your journey. Just seeing how resilient you've been, just where you're going, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you. Those of you who are listening, if there's, you know, any feedback or anything, I would love to hear that in terms of what you learned from this episode. You can actually follow me on all of the social media platforms at Navigating Life After 40, or join the Facebook group, Navigating Life After 40. Until next time, I will see you all later. That's a wrap for this episode of Navigating Life After 40. I hope you enjoyed this conversation just as much as I did. If you love what you're hearing, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling generous, leave me a review on your favorite podcast platform. This helps me to reach more amazing women like yourself who are trying to navigate this amazing life. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, keep living your best life.